Good morning. I thank all of you for coming, and I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, if I understand it right, we're going to talk about charity and kindness and patience. At least that's what I think we're going to talk about. So, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to read a story also. And then I'm going to read a little bit more and tell you another story. And then we're going to read a little bit more after that. So, be patient with me. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to start at the first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Back up there in the fourth verse, it says, charity suffereth long, it's patience, and is kind. Kindness of the heart, thoughtful of others before yourself. Now that's what it tells us in the Bible. And we're going to see what it says in the Book of Mormon right now. In Moroni, the 7th chapter. Starting at the 50th verse. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. Again, if you have not charity, you are nothing. And charity suffereth long, that's patience, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And I'm going to stop right there. We're going to come back to that at the end. Now I want to read a story. It's a story about charity. It is in Luke, the 10th chapter. And this is a story from our Lord Jesus Christ. And And I'm going to start at the 29th verse. And this is a lawyer that had been talking to Jesus Christ. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" So that Samaritan was practicing charity. And the Levite and the priest who knew about charity didn't have it in their hearts. They had nothing. I have seen people on the roadside that have had flat tires and people that needed help opening doors and different things. And I'm sure that all of you have. And I'm quite sure that all of you have stopped to help those people. And that's good, because it shows that you have charity. That you're willing to be patient and take your time to go and help them. And be kind to them. Kindness of the heart. So kindness and patience for strangers, that comes naturally to us here. That's what we've been taught. There was a young man, a young boy actually. He was about 17 years old. He lived on a farm in Kansas with his parents and his sisters. And one day their family friends came over and brought their children with them. And the boy and his sisters and these other kids went out to play in the field. And they were out there and playing, and in the field next to theirs were horses. And this one beautiful horse came over to the fence, and the kids went over to it, and they started petting this horse. And as they were petting this horse, this pickup pulled into the driveway of their farm, came flying in and in dust and everything, and this lady got out. And she walked right over to the gate and walked into the field and started yelling at these kids, "Get away from my horse. Don't you touch my horse. You kids, get away from my horse." And all the kids were like, whoa. They all backed up and everything. And that boy, he was the oldest one there. So the lady turned to him and she told him, "I know what you kids are doing. You want to ride my horse. Well, let me tell you something. That horse has been trained by me and knows what a good rider is. And I know how you kids are. All you want to do is just ride other people's horses for nothing, without even asking. So don't you ever touch my horse again." And the boy, when he's hearing all of this stuff, he was dumbfounded. He didn't know what to say. So he stood there and he listened at first. And he was scared. He was a little bit angry that this lady was, you know, going off on him. But then he decided to just listen to her. And when she got done, he apologized for upsetting her. And he promised her that they had never intended to ride her horse, that they had all been trained around horses, that they had all been trained by their parents that you don't just ride someone else's horse without asking, that you never open some farmer's gate and go in and leave the gate open, they'd been taught these things. And he said he was sorry that he ever upset her, and he hoped that she would forgive them. She said, "Well, all right, but don't you ever touch my horse again." And she got in her pickup truck and she left. And they all stood there and they looked at each other. And they were just like, "Wow, that was crazy." Well, about 5 minutes later, here comes that lady in the pickup truck again. She got out of her pickup truck and the kids walked over and she was crying. And she asked them to forgive her for the attack that she did to them. And that she was sorry for scaring them like that. And that she hoped that they would understand because she had just lost her dog. It had just died that morning. And that when she saw the kids touching her horse, she just lost it. Well, those kids, they told her it was okay, that they understood and they were sorry about her dog, and they were sorry that they caused her so much grief, and they all apologized. And the lady thanked them and they went their way. Well, that day, those kids were taught patience by God. To be patient and listen. To think of the other person first. Now, they haven't always remembered that lesson, but it was there that day. Some of those kids are in this room now. And I'm sure they remember that day because it was quite amazing. I was there. I thought it was amazing. So patience and kindness to strangers, that is just taught to us here, to strangers. But how do we treat the people that we know? How do you treat the people that you live with? Well, let's read about patience. Let's see what it says. Turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. There it is. I'm going to start at the first verse. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." That long suffering, forbearing one another in love, lowliness, meekness, it's patience and kindness. Do you treat the people that you live with, your children, that way? Do you treat your spouse that way? This isn't just for strangers on the street, but it's for everyone in your life, and most especially for those that you live with. Let's go to Proverbs, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read just one verse. That's all it'll take. It's the 29th verse of the 14th chapter of Proverbs. "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Slow to wrath means to be patient when those people are attacking you, because you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what has happened to them during that day or in their life. Now, you know that you have all kinds of problems yourself, and you know that God knows all of those problems that you have, and you expect the people around you to understand what is going on in your life. And you expect them to be gentle to you and kind to you when you've had a bad day. But do you do that for them? Or do you save it for strangers? Are you willing to listen to them first when they attack you? Your children, your spouse, your parents, your boss, your coworkers, your teachers. Those are the people that you know. And the people that you go to church with, those are the people that you know. Do you have patience with them? In the 15th chapter of Proverbs, I'm going to read the first verse and then the 18th verse. It says in the first verse that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So not only do you need to listen to them with patience and kindness, when you go to answer them, you need to think first before you open your mouth about how your words are going to affect them and how you would feel if those words were said to you. Let's go to the 18th verse. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Well, when someone's attacking you, it's very hard to not get angry, because first, you're attacked, there's fear, you put up your defense. And then you go on the offense, and that's where the anger comes from. But if you can just stop it before you open your mouth and think first, what would God want you to say? Then instead of stirring up strife, you're going to appease it. Now let's go to Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, starting at the 14th verse. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So, when you come here to church, you treat people nice. You know, that's what we do. We treat each other nice here. We don't render evil for evil. But when you go home, you expect your family and you expect your spouse and your parents and your children to treat you right. And if they don't, most of the time, we as humans tend to lash out at them just without even thinking. We bite their heads off. And we haven't done anything but rendered evil for evil. We don't have charity in our hearts at that time. And at that time, we are nothing in the eyes of God. Turn to James, the first chapter. The 19th and the 20th verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You've got to listen and pay close attention to what those people are saying that are attacking you, and try to understand what is wrong and why they're doing this. Most of the time, it's something that you yourself have done without even realizing it. So don't just jump on them immediately. Think about it. Don't just open your mouth and tear into them. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And then let's go to Ephesians one more time. In the 4th chapter, starting at the 30th verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, let's see. God for Christ's sake has forgiven me. Well, he already did that before I even had to ask. He died for me. Are you willing to forgive others before they ask you? Like it said, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are you willing to do that? Because if you're not, you don't have charity. And if you don't have charity, you're nothing. And if you are nothing, there is no way that you can expect to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's go back to Moroni in the 8th chapter. We're going to finish that chapter starting at the 53rd verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. So if you are found possessed with this gift of charity at the last day, it will be well with you. But if not, that will be the worst day of your life, for you will be nothing in the eyes of God. So when you pray to God and you ask him for help and guidance and to be a good person, and when you ask him to give you a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you ask for that gift of charity, you need to start practicing it. Because if you don't ever start practicing it, if you don't ever start holding your tongue when someone attacks you, and think about what is wrong and what is actually causing them to be so upset, you're never going to get charity. You know, you don't get the blessings of God until you first practice that faith that he asks of us. But you have to practice that faith first. And then you get the gift. Same way with charity. You've got to practice being charitable. And then it'll grow strong in you and you'll have that gift. And at the last day, it will be well with you. Thank you very much.